Welcome to the Friday edition. This edition is a debut of the Kamau Behavioral Health Project Native Connections. This show will be known as Native Connections Radio with host Shannon Wilhite and Eric Reese. This is the beginning of their 13-part series on suicide prevention. And in Studio 91, I have Shannon Wilhite and Eric Reese coming from the Kamau Medical Center Behavioral Health. So welcome to Studio 91, folks.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. So what do we have on the tab for today? It's another edition of Health Series, and I welcome this program.
Yes. Yeah. Thank you so much, Joe, for this opportunity. And hello, community. My name is Shannon Wilhite, and this is Eric Ruiz. And we're joining you today to talk about suicide prevention. That we've taken this information from a great book called Hope Squad, written by Greg Hudal. And first, we're going to tell you a little bit about ourselves. Eric?
Hello, community. My name is Eric Ruiz. I'm a Kudukk tribal member and also a descendant of the Tonawatam tribe. I live in Hoopa here, and I used to work at Potawatomi for the last 3.5 years in suicide prevention, but now I recently moved to work at Kamau, and I'm now working with Shannon here.
Hi, my name's Shannon Wilhite at Kamau Medical Center in Behavioral Health Department, running the Native Connections Youth Suicide and Substance Use Prevention Grant, and we're in our second year of the grant. The first year we spent on taking a lot of surveys, and some of you out in the community were able to participate in those, which we greatly appreciate. We have been able to really decide how our program was going to run based on your surveys and your input. We've kind of been a little derailed here with the COVID pandemic, but it really has led to some new doors opening, like this radio show. We also have a Facebook page, which is now up and running, Kamau Native Connections. And so we're sitting in here with Joe, with our masks and our gloves, and we're going to talk about suicide prevention. The Native Connections grant is a youth and young adult suicide and substance use prevention grant. And we're going to talk about one topic of suicide prevention for each show. And these shows are going to be aired on Friday at 9 a.m. and at 6 p.m. in the news block, and at Sunday at 4 p.m. too, if you missed the Friday show. Because the show's not live, we're not going to be able to answer your questions as we go through this. You might have some questions that pop up, but we do have a Native Connection phone number. That number is 707-599-5420. And leave a message if I don't answer the phone, and Eric and I will get back to you. Okay, let's get started here. Suicide is an issue. It's prevalent in Indian country. The overall death rate from suicide in Alaska Indians and American Native American populations is about 20% higher than non-Hispanic white populations. And it's the greatest risk is our youth and our young adults from 20 to 24 years old. Just for example, in 2017, suicide was the second leading cause of death in Indian country. So that's a real reason for a crisis here. In the United States, there's about one death every 12 minutes. And even though there's so many deaths happening, this just really isn't something that we're talking about. So, Eric, can you please tell us why suicide isn't really a hot topic?
The short answer is, for a lot of us, we're afraid to talk about suicide. There's stigma behind it. It's awkward and difficult and in ourselves, physically, mentally, spiritually, and emotionally, even socially. In Indian country, I don't know of anyone who doesn't know someone who has had a friend or family member who has not been affected by suicide, and yet we still don't talk about it. Suicide hurts, and it has a ripple effect. No one likes to admit they have pain, any kind of pain, especially mental pain, It's okay to say I have a broken bone, but it's not okay to, it's not okay to say I have mental pain. The stigma or fear is what you think people will think of you, or even culturally or spiritually, it might be considered taboo for you.
And talking about stigma and taboo, you know, when I was growing up, and I still commonly hear it now, we say, you know, someone committed suicide. So we're trying to first kind of reframe that thought in our minds and talk about it as saying we die by suicide or someone died by suicide instead of committed suicide. Eric, can you please tell me why we would want to do that?
The phrase committed suicide is frowned upon because it harks back to an era when suicide was considered a sin or crime. Think about the time when we use the word commit, as in commit adultery or commit murder. Similarly, successful suicide or unsuccessful attempt are considered poor choices because they connote an achievement of something or something positive, even though they result in a tragic outcome. The concept of choice is confusing because while we never have direct access to inner workings of a mind of someone who has died by suicide, there's much evidence that the thought processes are often gravely disordered by the effects of trauma, mental health conditions, and substance abuse. If a person can't choose rationally due to impairment of the mind, the decision is not a choice. The litmus test for talking about suicide is to substitute the word cancer for the word suicide to see if the sentence still makes sense or if it has a negative connotation. We wouldn't say committed cancer or successful cancer. We would simply say cancer death or died of cancer. Thus, when it comes to suicide, we would say suicide death or died of suicide. So in conclusion, we must talk about suicide if we're going to get in front of it. But how we talk about suicide matters. Unsafe messages and data that leaves us feeling that suicide is an epidemic can create harm. Instead, let's focus on messages and stories that inspire hope and healing and share resources that help people through their despair.
So that's what we're trying to do at Native Connections. We're trying to work hard to change that stigma behind suicide. Because, like with anything, if you educate yourself on a subject, you can learn what to do. And in this case, or you can learn about that subject. So in this case, you can learn what to do when someone you love needs you because they're in crisis, experiencing suicidal thoughts, or experiencing suicidal ideation. So ideations are basically someone having the idea of suicide in their thoughts. Ideation are not usually plans, or the person's not in crisis mode, but they're beginning to, or in some cases, have been thinking about suicide as a way to stop the pain they're going through. Today we're going to talk about risk factors and warning signs. It's important to understand that risk factors and warning signs are very different. Eric, can you tell us about risk factors?
Risk factors show that a person is at a higher risk for suicide than someone who doesn't have risk factors. And they could be mental health issues, physical issues, abuse, physical, sexual, verbal, emotional, being bullied, poverty, trauma, historical trauma, LGBTQ, addiction, breakups, incarceration, divorce, moving, death of a loved one, loss of job, isolation, low grades, poor nutrition, previous suicide attempt, access to lethal means, and lack of access to mental health care. And the list can go on. It's just whatever gets you in that place.
Wow. Yeah, that's really a lot. And we are going to talk more about risk factors because there is a lot there, as Eric just mentioned. But right now we're going to talk a little bit more about warning signs. So warning signs are new developments in someone's life that points them to being at immediate risk for suicide. So your warning signs are going to include someone talking to you or making plans for suicide, expressing hopelessness about the future, displaying severe or overwhelming emotional pain or distress, showing worrisome behavioral cues or marked changes in behavior, particularly in the presence of the warning signs I just spoke about. So this could include significant withdrawal from or changing social connections or situations, changes in sleep, like increased or decreased from what is normal, anger or hostility that seems out of character or out of context, and recent increased agitation or irritability. So if you notice some of these things, what can you do to help Eric?
The first thing is to ask the person if they're having thoughts of suicide, if they've been thinking about taking their life, and you need to get that yes or no. That is a yes or no question that you need to get. Express your concern about what you are observing in their behavior, how they're not acting quite the same as you remember. Listen attentively and non-judgmentally, which means put your cell phone down and give them all your attention, and don't interrupt them when they pause, or don't try to fix them. Just listen to them. Reflect what they share and let them know that they have been heard. Tell them that they're not alone, that we are in this together. Let them know that there are treatments available that can help. If you or they are concerned, guide them to seek professional help. As they receive help, continue to support them or reach out to them in love and acceptance. So if you get them to see professional help, don't just say, okay, that's it for you. Give them a call the following week, or send them a card. Let them know that you're still thinking about them.
Thank you, Eric. These are one of the most important things, is being able to have that conversation with someone. Let them know you care and that you're right there with them. You know, it's really important to get the courage to ask the question specifically, are you thinking of killing yourself, or are you thinking about suicide? It takes a lot of courage to say these words. I know I had trouble even saying them when I first started this job. It took practice, but if you can practice saying them out loud now, or even inside of your head, it'll make it that if in the future, if someone does reach out to you for help, you'll be able to ask them. So we're getting here to the end of our little segment here, and we're going to give you some resources for professional help. So if you feel like you might need these, or if you don't, you might know someone that does, please grab a pen and write these down. The Kamau Medical Center Behavioral Health has great counselors available to talk. And Kamau Medical Center's number is 625-4261, extension 0450.
The National Suicide Prevention Hotline is 1-800-273-TALK, T-A-L-K.
The National Crisis Text Line is text H-O-M-E, HOME, to 741-741. The Two Feathers Crisis Line is 707-382-0629, and that is available with some limited hours, so that's 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Monday through Friday. And there's also a Native Strong Hearts Native Helpline. It's 1-844-7-NATIVE, and that's available from 7 a.m. to 10 p.m. daily. The last one that we have for you today is the Humboldt County Crisis Line at 707-268-2999, and that's open 24/7. Next week, we are talking about protective factors, and thank you all, and be well. Goodbye.
Selenik.
Native Connection Radio is a production of Kamau Medical Center Behavioral Health Department. It is produced and hosted by Shannon Wilhite and Eric Reese. It's recorded and engineered in KIDE Studio 91 by Joseph Orozco. Each Native Connections radio program is available as an audio file at www.kidefm.org, Downloads Podcast Health. The next Native Connections radio program starts as a regular Wednesday program segment in the 9 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. hours. Thank you for listening.